Good afternoon. I'm Myra Selby from Indianapolis, Indiana, and I'm a practicing lawyer focusing in the area of healthcare law. And my only disclosure or limitation is in the fact that the title of my talk or presentation is just a bit misleading because really the whole notion of this article and the process of discovering these issues and concerns really started out by talking about the question of how will law or how will current laws limit the ability of medicine to go farther in patient-tailored medicine. So that's where we started sort of on this journey. And then I co-wrote this with contributing authors and sponsored by the American Health Lawyers Association. So we started off with this idea around what are the laws and or regulations that limit or restrict or apply to patient-tailored medicine or personalized medicine. I spent a lot of time at the beginning of this asking non-lawyers, people in the pharmaceutical industry, medical practitioners, physicians, what's the difference between personalized medicine and patient-tailored medicine? Because many times the those phrases or descriptions are used interchangeably. And although you'll find definitions of both, I've yet to find anyone who can explicitly describe if there is a difference. So I think they're interchangeable. So while genomics is the study of the human genetic makeup, pharmacogenomics is the prospect of treatments tailored based on the genetic makeup of a specific group. Lee and Morton note that the ultimate goal of personalized medicine is to comprehensively identify genetic differences among persons and correlate specific genetic features with the differential risk of diseases or the efficacy of certain therapeutic interventions. So I think that it's fair to say the holy grail or the whole point of personalized medicine would be to have the ability to target specific drug-patient interactions to minimize or eliminate adverse reactions and also to minimize or eliminate instances where drug therapy has no reaction or no benefit to patients. Some of the things that help us in moving toward a place of personalized medicine, obviously the Human Genome Project, the mapping of genes, ancestry tests, which draw to mind many horrors, including the experiments done on in Europe and race purification sorts of ideals, but the benefit of some of that horrible history is that it does teach us that the focus has to be on the individual, the genetic makeup of individuals rather than segregating and treating people as groups based on outward characteristics. The idea of one-size-fits-all medicine is one that has worked and served us well, and there's no reason to believe that it won't continue to work and can work side-by-side a more personalized medicine approach. We would, as we move toward patient-tailored therapy, one of the great advantages as we learn more about gene mapping and genetic makeup of individual groups and of individuals is that it will continue to enhance understanding about diseases and how to treat those diseases in specific, well-described patient groups. As a backdrop to this area moving forward, we have both the existing laws and regulatory framework, as well as some of the history of healthcare disparity in the U.S. that will impact going forward. Largely, and most importantly, is the Tuskegee Syphilis Study, which stands out as having a huge impact on certainly minority participation in medical advances, which come through clinical trials and conduct of that nature. Indeed, the syphilis study has been characterized as the, to symbolize racism in America, racism in medicine, misconduct in human research, and government abuse of black people. We see again and again the impact of that when we look at the rates of African Americans and indeed other minority populations in clinical trials. So what are some of the drawbacks to pharmacogenomics and personalized medicine? Again, there's the disparate numbers for certain racial and ethnic minority populations participating in clinical trials and enabling medicine to gather information from those individuals and from those groups. There's also the risk that scientists who study genetic differences may, as a result of discovering those differences, incorrectly or inappropriately extend those differences to broader groups. Pharmacogenomics can have some unintended consequences as well, and some of these would result in making racism more rather than less concrete. The conflation of race and genetics may open the door to prejudice, racial stereotyping, and overly simplistic conceptualizations of pharmacogenomic interactions, which could ultimately lead to poor healthcare. So when we look at the budding promise, there's also a danger if there isn't a clear understanding of what pharmacogenomics can and cannot do. So in discussing moving into this area, there are some authors that describe this as racial medicine. We determined that it really isn't racial medicine, but rather personalized medicine that may, in fact, look at and study particular characteristics of a group, but it does so through looking at the individual genetic makeup of members of those groups. Turning to the question of how personalized medicine may affect the legal, regulatory, and legislative environment as we go forward, in the federal sort of primarily affecting this area is the sort of the federal legal landscape, sort of on a high level, and then the various states that have laws that impact on this area. The federal legal landscape has three major pieces of legislation that bear on the area of personalized medicine. One is HIPAA, or the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. And HIPAA was really the first piece of federal legislation that specifically addressed the use of genetic information. And HIPAA does so within the health insurance context. And it is found, the prohibition is against using genetic information or data in the prohibition against pre-existing condition exclusions under HIPAA. The second broad federal law that touches on this area is the ADA, or the Americans with Disabilities Act. And although the ADA does not explicitly address genetic information, it does speak to disability-related genetic discrimination in the workplace. There's a typo on this. The title should be Title VII. Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which is discrimination in employment, or deals with discrimination in employment, again, does not specifically address genetic discrimination, but it is clear through the case law interpreting Title VII that genetic discrimination, or discrimination based upon one's genetic makeup, may be within the purview of protected discrimination under Title VII. So we had all these existing laws that one could cobble together to make the case that discriminating against someone on the basis of their genetic makeup or on the basis of their genetics violated federal law. In Congress for 13 years, Congress debated whether or not Congress needed to enact a specific law that specifically spelled out that discrimination on the basis of genetic makeup is against the law. It did take 13 years for Congress to decide that yes, we do need a law, and yes, it should be a violation of federal law to discriminate against an individual on the basis of his or her genetic makeup. Why was the debate intense? Well, in part it was because there were some 33 or 34 states that had something in their state laws relative to discrimination on the basis of genetic makeup. So Congress decides in 2009, actually, legislation was signed. It's called GINA, and it amends all those laws I just talked about, Title VII, HIPAA, and the ADA, to make it very clear that health insurers may not discriminate on the basis of genetic makeup. It also prohibits genetic discrimination in the workplace as well. The news of GINA really was discrimination in the workplace, but GINA also prohibits discrimination in insurance. Importantly, this notion of personalized medicine will be greatly aided by the one federal agency that regulates drugs, biologics, and devices, which is the FDA. Bidil is something that everyone has heard of as one specific example where the FDA approved a therapy for a specific racial group. Bidil will not be the last, but it certainly was an important first. And there are many barriers that will have to be faced with respect to advancing in the area of personalized medicine, and I've listed just a few here. There are risks to manufacturers of drugs, including those that I've listed. The most important, perhaps, being the design defect liability, where one could argue that something that's designed for a specific genetic makeup should always work in a person that has that particular genetic makeup. Some other cautionary notes are what defenses could be available to manufacturers so that they would go ahead and take the risk to make these medicines. Provider risks as well to doctors and others using the medicines. And then, of course, we would have to look at an overview of the federal policy for protecting human research subjects as well.